We are taking up again the question today, who is my neighbor and how shall I be a good neighbor? This is part of a long series from the fall called Life in the Name of Jesus, or Life in Jesus' Name. And as I mentioned last week, we're in the middle of 3 weeks, along with 100 or more churches in Charlotte, looking at a part of what it is to hold fast to Jesus' name, and that is how to be a good neighbor. And that is called the Art of Neighboring. In fact, Rob has probably left now, but one of the four Charlotte folks that have coordinated this stopped by just to take a picture and meet us, and he's visiting about four or five churches this morning, all of whom are listening to these texts and these stories and talking about neighboring. And their prayer is that this will have an impact on the city of Charlotte in big and small ways. So I want to start today with two questions that I think our stories today anchor on. At first blush, you may think, well, those stories don't have to do with neighbors. They have to do with Jesus healing people. But I want to draw your attention to this theme of neighboring that runs through both of these stories. And they've paired these together. They're intertwined in the gospel. And I think they get at this. I want to ask you over the course of the sermon, are you a good neighbor when no one is looking? And are you a good neighbor when everyone is looking? And is there a difference in whether it's a public or a private act? And we're going to see Jesus demonstrate what it is to be a good neighbor in both of those circumstances in today's story. So today, there are two texts, two stories. They're interwoven because the story about Jairus and his daughter starts and then is interrupted by the other story and then picks back up. So we're actually going to start with the story that interrupts, and that is the woman who is suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. She has been suffering. We're told all this in the story. She's gone to see doctors. She's spent all of her money on doctors and has not gotten any relief from this condition. And in fact, it's only gotten worse after 12 years. And so we get kind of the, narrator's look over this whole scene, and we're told that the woman kind of works her way up to Jesus and reaches out and just touches the edge of his robe as he passes by. And she does that hoping, believing that in some way she will be helped and made well. And in one of the more curious exchanges in the stories about Jesus, he stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And all the disciples say, "Oh, come on, everyone's touching you. You're in the middle of a whole crowd. What do you mean?" And he says, "I felt the power go out from me." I've read enough comic books that I want to know what that is. What is the force that has gone out from him and zapped this woman? And I'm not going to get sidetracked on that today. I don't know. But Jesus somehow was aware of his power, and he was aware when it went out. There's no indication that he has a limited reserve and that somehow it took his batteries down to 73% or anything like that. But just that he was aware that someone in faith had made contact with him and that God's power in him had come to bear on her. So here's the thing about that story. This is the one, interestingly, both of these are going to kind of reverse from what I say initially. But this is one where Jesus, I would say, is being a good neighbor when no one is looking. Weird, because he's surrounded by people. You think, oh, come on, everyone's looking. But this could have gone unmentioned, unnoticed, without comment. Right? Jesus just could have noted, someone just got healed. I'm going to keep moving. But he stopped. He stopped the movement of the crowd. In fact, he was on his way to heal a girl who was about to die. He stopped what he was doing and turned and gave his attention to this woman. So what he could have done when no one was looking, he suddenly brought into the light and talked about. And here's why it was important. Because her condition, very much for the same reasons as leprosy, a whole different condition, but it would have caused her to be outcast, not able to participate in religious events in and around the temple, not able to be around her family. In fact, the teaching was that because of this particular issue that she had, anyone she touched would be made unclean. So very much like leprosy. Again, Jesus could have without drawing attention to it, simply moved on, and she would have been healed. But he stopped because it was, even though he says, your faith has made you well, he put that faith in a greater context, and he did more for her than simply healing her. We've talked about that before. When the guy was lowered through the roof, Jesus said, which is easier, to forgive sin or to heal him? Jesus did more than simply heal her physical condition. He restored her to her family, to society, to life. Because he named her, he called her daughter, he touched her, and he said, your faith has made you well, you are clean, you are whole. And he did this in front of the crowd. In this case, he made public what could have been hidden, right? And he says to her, go in peace, shalom. He has restored to her not just her health, but her place and her place in the family of God and her place in the culture. And so he makes public this healing. I wonder, when you have had or do have the opportunity to be a good neighbor when no one's looking. I think about often if I walk in my literal neighborhood, I'll see that people's mailboxes have had mail put in them and not been closed. And I don't ring the doorbell and go say, hey, I closed your mailbox just so nothing will fall. I just close it and keep moving, right? Simple. No one's looking. I don't need credit. It's just an act of goodwill. Perhaps you've been in a locker room or around the water cooler or at lunch at school or with a group of people, and they start talking about someone who's not there, right? It'd be easy enough to just not participate but not say anything and move on. But perhaps you step up and say, let's not talk about so-and-so. Praying for other people. Do they need to know that you're praying for them for it to count? No. Right? That is an unseen act of faith, to pray for some situation or for another piece and another person, trusting that God hears your prayers and God can and will do something about it. Our acts of being a good neighbor do not have to be seen to be valid or to count. So one of the things I take from this story is the challenge for us: will we be good neighbors when no one's looking? And let me pause and say this. I meant to say it earlier. Why in the world are these, why would I even say these are stories about being a good neighbor, right? It's about Jesus healing people, dramatically so. It's because of the definition of neighbor that Jesus gave last week. He said, who was the good neighbor in this story of the Samaritan? The answer was, it's the one who showed mercy. That's his definition of being neighborly. Not who has the greenest grass or who hosts the neighborhood party, but the one who shows mercy. That's the spiritual definition of good neighbor. And so as Jesus heals this woman and then goes in the next story to heal the young girl, he is showing the quintessential mercy of God in having mercy on someone's physical condition, on someone's life, on someone's family. He is showing mercy. Well, as that story concludes and the woman is restored and named and called daughter and sent on her way, someone comes from the house of Jairus, who was the original summons, my daughter's about to die, come quickly. And someone comes to Jesus and says, Jairus' daughter has died. But Jesus decides, he says, I'm still coming. And he comes onto the house. And there's a commotion there at the house because, as was the custom, when someone dies, you get friends and even sometimes professional mourners come to express grief publicly. And that's something that happens in a lot of cultures. But it was going on there. And it was a lot of noise and weeping and wailing. Jesus comes into that, preparing to show mercy, preparing to heal. And he says publicly now, this is the question, are you a good neighbor when everyone's looking? He says before everyone, oh, she has not died, she's just asleep. And the crowd mocks him, ridicules him, and laughs at him. Right? So he is taking the risk and he is choosing to show mercy in front of everyone, even at the expense of his own reputation. It reminded me as I read now the second story that Jesus' mercy his neighboring is not about himself, right? But it is about the needs of the person to whom he's showing mercy. So the first woman, her needs were to be healed and restored. So he took what could have been a private healing and he moved it into the public light because that's what she needed. And now with the young girl, right, who all these people are present, Jesus is about to do an amazing miracle, raise someone from the dead. What she needs waking up as a 12-year-old is to be with her family and not be surrounded by a mob of people. So Jesus sends them away, right? So it's just him, a couple of disciples, and the girl's family. And then he shows, sounds like an understatement, right? He shows mercy. He wakes her up. He raises her to life. And curiously, he says, let's get her something to eat. Right? So the girl is not panicked or scared or confused or afraid, but is there with her family and with this man who has healed her, and they comfort her and give her food. Someone asked some questions and give some challenges from these two stories about neighboring. And it should be evident right off the bat, we have different skills than Jesus, right? We're not going around healing people. We're really not going around raising people from the dead. What is our point of connection with these stories? I would say it's neighboring. It's showing mercy, right? Jesus showed mercy in God-like, amazing ways. But we have opportunities daily, regularly, to show mercy in human ways. And that's how we can do this story. This is how we can emulate Jesus, hold fast to his name, live life in his name. So my first question and challenge, super simple. To whom can you show mercy this week? Think about it. Think whose face comes to mind. Or maybe whose mailbox. I don't know. The challenge is go do it. Go do it. Live life in the name of Jesus. Choose to show mercy. I mean, that was at the heart of last week's story, right? The first two who could have shown mercy chose to pass by. Perhaps they rationalized, they had reasons to pass by. But the one who was the neighbor, the one who Jesus held up for us to imitate, was the one who showed mercy. So I know it's a super simple challenge, but that's what the story is about. That's what living life in Jesus' name is about. Show mercy like Jesus showed mercy. So to whom can you show mercy this week? The second question and challenge is, what gets in the way of that? What causes you to pause, to hesitate, perhaps to cross to the other side of the street and take a detour around? What are the obstacles keeping you from showing mercy, keeping you from being a good neighbor? Interestingly, in these stories, I didn't highlight this as we went through, but there was an element of fear. The first woman surely had fear of coming out in the crowds. If they had recognized her or her situation, they would have shunned her and perhaps shouted her down. But her faith overcame that fear so that she could touch Jesus. And in the second story, the fear was that the young girl was going to die. And Jesus restored her to life. Is it fear that keeps you from being a good neighbor? Right? What would it look like for you to trade that fear of, I'll be embarrassed, or you'll think I'm being strange, or that's out of my way, or that seems extreme, to exchange that for faith? To say, if Jesus were here with me, what would he urge me to do? Where would he go? And if I were one of those two or three disciples he brought along, what would that look like? Where would we go together? What would he ask me to be a part of? So I want to ask you what comes to mind. The first question is, to whom can you show mercy? The second is, what would get in the way of doing that? And can you set that aside to follow after Jesus? We're going to continue next week in a final week of The Art of Neighboring and look at Jesus. The challenge is not to be the savior of the world. We don't have to do that. But Jesus has taught us to love mercy and kindness, to show compassion, to hold fast to those qualities of belonging to him. And that's the challenge in today's text as well. Let's pray together.